It's Christmas time. A cold, crisp winter's night, and all the children in Iceland are asleep and dreaming of presents.
Presents.
Is this Santa Claus? No. This is Pottaskefill or Pot Scraper. He's one of the Yule lads. Jólasveinar.
He takes the pot.
He takes the pots and licks them, the leftovers. So there's like dirty pots been left out, you know, in the kitchen. He just goes and takes them and finishes the job.
Then there's one called just Shorty.
Stúfur.
Bólikar.
Giljagaur.
Stórslammer.
Stekkjastaur. Askasleiki.
Then there is Búnlikar.
Sausage Stealer.
Vörusleiki.
Window Pípa.
Gáttathefur.
Segja vil ég sögu á sveinunum þeim sem brugðu sér hér forðum á bæina heim. Let me tell the story of the lads of few charms who once upon a time used to visit our farms. The Yuletide Lads by Jóhannes úr Kötlum. Þeir jólasveinar nefndust, jólin birtust þeir, og einn og einn. They came from the mountains, as many of you know, in a long single file to the farmsteads below. They were called the Yuletide Lads. At Yuletide they were due, and always came one by one, not ever two and two. We have 13 Yule Lads here in Iceland. Sometimes they are described as Santa Clauses, but really they are very different.
The original image of the Yule Lads is that they are evil. They are bad, they banter you around.
They were trolls. What they did was they came and they tried to steal food from the people. And we're talking about old times in Iceland when storing food for the winter was difficult. So the worst thing you could do to people would be in the middle of winter to come and steal the food from them.
Þeir voru 13 þessir heiðursmenn sem ekki vildu ónáða allir í senn. 13 all together, these gents in the prime, didn't want to irk people all at one time. Creeping up all stealth, they unlocked the door, the kitchen and the pantry they came looking for. They hid where they could with a cunning look or sneer, ready with their pranks when people weren't near. And even when they were seen, they weren't loath to roam and play their tricks, disturbing the peace of the home.
13 days before Christmas, the first one arrives, which is Stekkjastaur. He nicks sheep. That's how they do, they nick things. He can't bend his knees. They always run away, so he's kind of clumsy.
Stekkjastaur kom fyrstur, stinnur eins og tré. Stiff legs was the first, like a stick of wood he came, to prey upon the farmer's sheep, and following his game, he wished to suck the ewes, but it was no accident. He couldn't, cause his knees were stiff. Not too convenient. Giljagaur var annar, Gulligog came second, grey his head and mean. He snuck into the cow barn from his craggy ravine. Hiding in the stalls, he would steal the milk while the milkmaid gave the cowherd a meaningful smile.
We do not know exactly how old the Yulads are in our folklore. Árni Björnsson, I used to work at the Ethnological Department of the National Museum of Iceland. The first mentioning of Júlads is in a sort of a ballad from the 17th century. They are obviously meant to frighten children, to keep them obedient.
Askasleikir, bakkalútur, bakki, bandaleysir, bita, hængir, bjálfa, barnið, bjálfin.
My name is Valgeir Guðjónsson, I'm a musician.
Bjálmansbarnið, bjálminn sjálfur, bjúknakrækir, drumbur fyrir alla...
They were scary guys, they were thieves and peeping toms and children were terrified. There are names for over 70 different Júlads. Let me see here. Need to put on my glasses. Because being a musician, I always start thinking about music whenever I come across something like this, so...
Hurðaskellir, kattarvali, kertasleikir.
One called Reykjasvelgur, he is the one that likes to swallow smoke, probably from the stove.
Old people talk about one called Faldafeikir, which kind of just means someone who picks up your skirt.
Lungnaslettir, somebody that would tear your lungs out and scatter them about.
Even though we've got like window picker and sausage snatcher still there, there have been some bad ones taken out. Imagine how it was.
The 13 ones that we have are harmless, I mean, compared to some of the guys that were put aside.
In the 19th century, the Júlads are no longer children eaters. But they are still irritating. They are naughty and they are not friendly.
Stúfur hét sá þriðji, stubburinn sá. Stebbi was the third called, a stunted little man who watched for every chance he got to whisk off a pan. And scurrying away with it, he scraped off the bits that stuck to the bottom and brims, his favorites.
Then there comes sort of a turning point when the state radio starts in the year 1930. And when the first Christmas came, it was decided that one of the Júlads would appear in. So there was made a very interesting compromise. They had their own proper Icelandic names, but they took on the dress clothing of Santa Claus. And they were friendly, told stories, and were friendly to the children.
When we come into the 20th century, they start to become a sort of milder version. So rather than being bad or evil, they are more naughty, and these are sort of pranks.
Sá fjórði, þvörusleikir, var fjarska. The fourth one was spoon liquor, like spindle he was thin. He felt himself in clover when the cook wasn't in. Then stepping up, he grabbled the stirring spoon with glee, holding it with both hands, for it was slippery.
Terry Gunnell, I'm professor of folkloristics at the University of Iceland. I suppose the way that the Yule lads appear nowadays in folklore stories is a bit like a bunch of degenerate aged Hell's Angels without bikes who come down from the mountains at Christmas time. They're all long-bearded and originally would sort of wreak havoc in town.
The Yule lads merged with the American Santa Claus. And so the Yule lads became good. And started, instead of coming to banter everybody, they came to reward good kids.
Did this bring presents?
Presents?
I like when they give us presents.
13 days before Christmas, you put your shoe in the window And every morning you check on the shoe because the Yule lad, they come one each night until Christmas and they leave you a present if you're good.
I use a really long sock and I just leave it in the windowsill. I use a big boot.
If you have a big shoe, he put the present there. Yeah, one day when the Christmas came, he give me a stickers.
Toys.
Candy.
A tiny little bear. And if you're like bad behavior that day, you get a potato in your shoe. It's happened once to me.
I was watching television. I was around 5 years old. My mom calls me from the kitchen and she says, Eva, a Yule lad wants to speak to you. And I like shakingly take up the phone and this deep voice said, hello, is this Eva? And I go, yeah. And he tells me that my mom is telling him that I have been misbehaving. It's a Yule lad. I couldn't lie. I mean, he would know if I was lying. So I say, yeah, I am so sorry. He asked me if I was going to be a good girl because otherwise he would have to give me a potato. And I was the picture perfect behavior until Christmas Eve and longer. Speaking with a Yule lad on the phone, I felt both privileged and absolutely terrified.
Sá fimmti, pottaskefill, var skrítið kuld. Pottscraper, the fifth one, was a funny sort of chap. When kids were giving scrapings, he'd come to the door and tap. And they would rush to see if there really was a guest. Then he hurried to the pot and had a scraping fest.
Ásta Kristrún. My career has been in psychology, but now I am in charge of this educational cultural center in Eyrarbakki, this village at the south coast. I think those traditions, there is this reason and the need to control the behavior of the children, the behavior of the people in the darkness. And you can do it with those creatures, Yulards. You can do it with them knowing that they will get something very nice if they just behave. And there is someone looking, the Yulards, from the mountain. They follow you. So you control this behavior by this way.
Nowadays, going back from wearing red and white costumes, a bit like Santa, and going back to wearing Icelandic old costumes from, I suppose, the 1700s, 1800s. You find them all over milk cartons with their names. Very popular cards done by an English artist called Brian Pilkington, who has produced images of these figures and little statues.
They're resin. Each one is individually hand-painted. This is Stuva, you know, the smallest one. They were from my drawings, and I drew them from every angle. They basically look similar to Santa with long beards, but rougher clothes and not so bright colours. They've got big noses and sticky out ears. There's just a hint of a threat to them.
They still slam doors and they try to steal your food. I remember that really making us laugh when I was little. They're very funny and can be very silly.
They laugh really strange.
Yeah, like just...
The Yulards, of course, they are terrible losers. Being so unlucky and clumsy and so on. And that is the soft side of them, because then you can identify yourself if you're a child and they do some mistakes, you know.
As Christmas approaches, the children from schools and parents will take their children to the National Museum, where they will see these Christmas figures come and sing songs and play with them.
But I mean, basically they're just grotesque and they talk very much like this.
My name is Pietro Eikes. I run a little theater company, and I have been taking care of the program here, the Yuletide Lads at the National Museum, since 1995. What makes the Yuletide Lads interesting is that they are not just good. For me, the Father Christmas figure I mean, it's nice, but it's just that good old man that is very good and very ho ho ho. And for me, it's not an interesting character.
Sá sjötti, Aska Sleikir, var Bólika, the sixth one, was shockingly ill-bred. From underneath the bedsteads, he stuck his ugly head. And when the bowls were left to be licked by dog or cat, he snatched them for himself. He was sure good at that.
I was just asleep, and then all of a sudden I heard a bang. And I, like, woke up really scared. And then I just thought, this is just one of the Yule lads.
Sjöundi var hurðaskellir, sá var nokkuð klúr. En fólkið vildi... The seventh was door slammer, a devil of abuse. When people in the twilight would take a little snooze, he felt happy as a lark with the havoc he could wreak, slamming doors and hearing the hinges on them squeak.
Many years ago, my daughter went to the play school Christmas party, and there were three Yule lads. All the kids were sitting waiting in a circle in the main hall, and when they eventually came in, the first two introduced themselves, and the third one said, "My name is the Door Slammer," and he comes in and slams the door, and all the kids started crying. Absolutely every one of them.
Skýrjarmur, sá áttundi, var skelvilegt naut. Skýr, gobla, the eighth, was an awful, stupid bloke. He lambasted the skýr turp till the lid on it broke.
Skýrgámur.
Once when he came, then I left a little bit of sugary skýr out in the window for skýrgámur.
Gámur.
That cackling laugh. It can only be Gríla. Gríla is the mother of the Yule lads. Gríla is the one you really don't want to meet.
Gríla, apelsina, Gríla, Gríla, fíla.
She's creepy, ugly, fat.
She looks dirty and old.
He looks like a witch.
She was said to come and take the naughty children.
Naughty children, only naughty children.
Take them up to her cave, put them in a pot, boil them and eat them. Very terrible.
She eats little kids if they're not behaved well.
Yeah.
But she never takes in the iron so fast.
She dates back to the 12th or 13th century, so she's been around for a long time.
The name Gríla means something terrifying. It might be related to the English word cruel, cruel Gríla.
When my brother was about two, he was, I think, being naughty and didn't want to go to bed. They've been telling him, if you don't go to bed, Gríla will come. That's because that's what you're taught. Dad was able to go onto the balcony with a broom stick and bang onto the window in my brother's bedroom, and it really scared the hell out of him, like petrified him. He was so scared that night, I think he went straight to bed. He mentioned this literally every Christmas, every year, and he's like, what, 36 today? He still talks about it. Traumatized, the poor boy. I don't think they realized how much impact that was going to have on him. But I think he would never do anything like that to his children, for sure.
When Gríla comes to the museum, children are terrified.
She may ask the kids, is there someone here that wants to come with me up to the cave? Oh, I have a very nice hot pot there.
The kids are scared of Gríla, but they still love her. The naughty, the scary characters fascinate the children.
Like this.
Children for breakfast.
What, like this?
Hello. I'm gonna eat you. I'm gonna eat you.
Gríla.
Oh. Já, ég held að ég hef samt ekki verið svo óstyrkt.
Hér er Skýrnir, my 11-year-old son.
Ég held að...
He has been thinking about if she would
break into our house and kidnap him if he is naughty. So he has thought about this, how that would feel, but he doesn't really think that he is ever that naughty, which is true. But this is obviously something he's been thinking about, which is curious because I never used this as a threat. And people really say that she is dead, so maybe he doesn't have to be worried.
Nú er hún gamla Grýla dauð, Grýla dauð á rólunum. Nú er hún gamla Grýla dauð, Grýla dauð.
My old school kept saying that she fell off a cliff or something. So then I was like, oh, she can't hurt me or anything. So then I wasn't afraid of her.
I think Grýla isn't true. I think she's just made up.
Because I think...
She never comes.
Yeah, that's true. And it just made a joke of Grýla. So the kids never be naughty on Christmas. Because then they think Grýla will come and just take us and... I got you now, kids. I'll make you for dinner.
Modern upbringing specialists will say this is a bad thing to frighten children into behaving. But in a sense, it takes a little bit away from the magic of the world to remove these figures too. To be sort of nicely scared, you've got your parents to look after you. They'll protect you from figures like this. And that cements, in a sense, the relationship between parents and children to a certain extent, creating these fairy tales, these worlds outside where the children are safe inside.
Níundi var bjúknakrækir, brögðóttur og snar. Hann hentust upp í rjárin.
The ninth was sausage swiper, a shifty pilferer.
He climbed up to the rafters and raided food from there. Sitting on a crossbeam in soot and in smoke.
I think in old days it was really used for discipline. If you're not good, you know, the Yulad will come and only give you a rotten potato, things like that. And I think parenting's changed. I just think a lot of things in Iceland have changed significantly since my grandparents' generation.
Tíundi var gluggagægir, grálindur mann. Sem laumaðist á skjáin.
The tenth was window peeper, wicked creepy twit, who stepped up to the window and stole a peek through it. And whatever
I don't like gluggagægir. He looks always into your window and is like, it's really creepy.
Ellefti var gáttaþefur, aldrei fékk sá kvef. Eleventh was door sniffer, a doltish lad and gross. He never got a cold, yet had a huge, sensitive nose.
Gáttaþefur. He has a big nose.
Gáttaþefur is door sniffer. So he kind of just likes to sniff all the cooking smell from the people's houses.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention. They have a pet too. A pet cat. Not just any cat. This is the Yule Cat.
The Christmas cat is very vicious and it's black. It's a very violent creature. And if you don't get new clothes at Christmas, then the Christmas cat will come and eat you up.
Því kannist við jólaköttin, sá kattu var gríðar stór. Hún hlýs ekki hvaðan hann kom, eða hvert hann fór.
Jólakötturinn hér. This creepy, scary cat that roams around the country, very hungry and very cruel. And everybody is afraid of him. And when you hear him meowing outside, you know that you're in trouble. And he eats the poor people that don't get anything new to wear for Christmas.
Kids used to help with the making of the clothes, and they used to help do the spinning and the weaving and things, and even the knitting. So I guess to keep them going, they would tell them stories about the cat getting them if they don't get new clothes.
Well, in the folklore as a whole, you can find many sorts of supernatural beings in the winter darkness.
Hétkrókur sá tólti kunni á ýmsu lag. Hann þrammaði í sveitina.
Me took the 12th one.
His talent would display as soon as he arrived on St. Thorlaug's Day. He snagged himself a morsel of meat of any sort, although his hook at times was a tiny bit short.
They used to hang the meat onto a hook while they were drying it or smoking it. So that's where the hook thing come from. So he obviously likes to take them off the hook and eat the meat. He's not gonna do anything with the hook.
He would come and try to steal it through the chimney, Ketkogur, and he loves meat. He doesn't eat anything else.
And then the last one, which I think everybody's favorite, is Kertasnikir.
Kertasnikir!
The candle beggar.
In old days, the candles were made out of animal fat, so you could eat them. So that's originally why he was stealing the candles.
He's funny. And he takes candles.
13. Var Kertasnikir, þá var tíðin köld. Ef ekki kom hann síðan. The 13th was candle beggar, 'twas cold, I believe. If he was not the last of the lot on Christmas Eve. He trailed after the little ones who like happy sprites.
Today the kids more see him as a friendly character who likes candles.
I think he sleeps in candles.
He's my favorite because when he arrives, I know it's soon Christmas.
Christmas arrives at 6 o'clock the 24th.
Almost every household in Iceland sits down at the same time and starts their Christmas dinner while listening to the 6 o'clock mass on radio. It's almost like a timer that goes off, and then at exactly when the church bells goes off, everybody starts kissing and hugging and going, Merry Christmas! Because we've been counting down with the 13 days for the Yule lads, and then Christmas has officially started.
Jólasveinar. Just like they came one by one, they leave one by one.
We are born with the need of excitement. And we have to have the feeling of relief after having been terribly scared. And this contrast, positive, negative, darkness, brightness, this is a very sweet combination.
Children like these stories because it's about a little bit creepy characters that come to town, give them presents, and in the end of the stories about the Yulets, they leave. So we know on the 6th of January, they're off to the mountains. The fright is over. Á sjálfa jólanóttina, sagan hermir frá, on Christmas night itself, so a wise man writes, the lads were all restrained and just stared at the lights. Then one by one they trotted off into the frost and snow. On 12th night the last of the lads used to go. Their footprints in the highlands are effaced now for long, their memories all turned to image and song.
Yay!